This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What's the tip?
Big boy in a fifth.
Forget it. The fifth goes off at three. We going to the track?
You're listening to Race Day at Fairmont Park on lineupmedia.fm.
And it off.
With a different story on every face.
I'm going to Hawaii! I'm going to Hawaii!
It's falling back.
I'm not going to Hawaii!
Will they make it through?
I like the two horse. It's got front wraps.
Big money on the four horse.
I like the six. That's the horse. That's it.
I always bet on five.
The number one horse.
I like the four. Number four. Four.
I like the six.
I like the four horse.
And you lay your money down when you cross the line.
Here comes the champ. I mean it. You are the champ. Believe me, you got more guts than you got sense. I love it.
Now your host, Jono Kabinjian.
Welcome, race fans, to another great show here at FairmontParkPodcast.com. And, hey, Mike, how are you? I didn't have you on last time.
No, I'm doing great, Jono. How's everything going?
Everything's fine. Did you listen to the last show?
Oh, yeah. Listened to it last, when was it?
I think it was Thursday.
Thursday evening.
When we had it out. What did you think of Uriel Lopez? Giving his 1,000th win. Yeah, I mean, we talked about Chris Amey up in Arlington doing it, and now we had our own very own jockey, and he's a humble guy, too.
Yeah, Uriel, he's there every day, and he always works hard, and a really, really good guy.
Yeah, and what's interesting is we've had other jockeys on before him that say, you know what, I look at the PPs, it's my Bible, and with Uriel, he goes, I don't look at it because I ride these horses in the morning. I can pretty much tell who they are and what they do.
Right, and, you know, I think he even made the statement once on the show, study long, study wrong, and you get second-guessing and everything else like that. But everybody's got their own way of doing things. It's just like any other athlete warming up for a game. You know, you see, like in basketball, Steph Curry taking half-court shots and dribbling behind his back in between his legs. And you see the other guys just, you know, shooting little jump shots. And same way with the jock. You know, like Santiago was on a few weeks ago. He watches replay after replay of horses, you know.
You know what, though? In modern sports, that's what they ask for, though. I mean, you're seeing tablets on the sidelines. You're seeing a lot of stuff besides the X and O's on the chalkboard from now on.
Oh,
that's what you're seeing.
Yeah, everything is, it's 2017.
Modernized.
You know? That's
modernized. Right. And it's good to see Uriel still, you know what, I'd rather feel the horse and know what I'm riding.
Yeah, and I can see his point. You also brought up their flesh. And just because it says on a video of a replay how this horse made a big move at the eighth pole doesn't mean he's going to do it the same that day.
Right. You know? And that's one thing about it. You can look all the PPs you want. You could dissect the numbers. You could do everything you can to pick the right horse. But, again, we're talking about a live animal that, you know what, if he didn't eat right that day and he's pissed or whatever,
that's right,
he's going to say, I'm not going to run.
Yeah, and so that happens, especially in the heat. They don't perform sometimes as well.
Well, I tell you what, man, we've got a good show today. I'm going to have a guest that's out there all the time, at the morning. He clocks the horses. Mark Johnson. You know Mark Johnson.
Oh yeah, I know Mark real well.
And we're gonna have him on the show. Where he's coming on in a hurry here because he had to do something. So we got to get him on. And that's interesting to find out because a lot of people just see Mark standing there right in the middle, and it's like, oh, anyone could do that. But behind the scenes, man, he's going up to each stall, seeing what's happening, seeing the rowdy horses, seeing everything. I mean, he's like a linebacker in there.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times they'll lead a horse. Sometimes you hire a different groom that actually doesn't work in your barn to run a horse for you.
And that happens all the time.
And they might forget the blinkers or the tongue tie or something like that. And Mark's been doing this a long time, and he knows what he's looking for in the paddock, and he's a tremendous help to some of these other trainers that getting a little long in the tooth, and some of these 2 and 3 year olds feel pretty good, and you got to saddle a lot of them on the walk, and MJ's right. done a great job for a long time.
And he's always in shape, too.
Oh, yeah.
Guy's always been in shape. One other thing he does that I think is really important is that he does that morning clock. And, you know, when you get first-timers out there, I mean, that's your Bible. You're going by what times MJ's clicking on there. So, you know, it's something that's vital to, vital to our betters.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to tell that to them.
Right.
So, anyway, folks, I'm glad you guys are liking our show. We're seeing the downloads. Go to Google Play. Go to iTunes. Also, you can find us on our website here at FairmontParkPodcast.com. You can download all our shows. And you know what? It's been a good ride so far.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to get on. Just click onto it. And you can always find out something about the Fairmont Park. We kind of cover all the bases usually.
And what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring people in.
Right.
People in that are familiar with the track or doing something at the track. And, and the numbers, I'm telling you, Mike, I was out there Saturday.
Right.
And I'm telling you, you can't even walk.
Oh, I know. They always continue to have good crowds there, you know, and you go to other tracks. I was watching Belmont Saturday afternoon, and they had a bunch of stake races up there, and, man, it was kind of sad to watch. Because
it's sad,
I know that grandstand is humongous,
right?
But they just wasn't that many people there.
No. And, folks, we appreciate it. You guys are coming out, and maybe we got something to do with it, too. Maybe we're throwing in a couple hundred people in there.
Maybe a lot of the people showed up Saturday night just to see you. I see you had sunglasses.
I was in my incognito, said. I just sat there. I just sat there because...
no autographs?
No autographs, nothing. I had my sunglasses on. And, I was... You know what? I got the green sheet out there.
Right.
And... you know, I don't like making a scene or anything when the horse wins. I had the pick of the day, and it doesn't matter to me. I just want to go out there and have fun and check out my horse. My horse, by the way, we'll get to that. I can't wait to tell you about that. I'm really pumped up about. I'm sure you know. I'm sure you know about that. Well, Mike, I tell you what, we got a guest that's always at the racetrack. He's the morning clocker. He's the paddock judge. I always went by MJ.
Right.
It's Mark Johnson. Mark, how are you out there?
All right, John. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing good. I got Mike Plasters sitting next to me. Mike, not Mike, but Mark, I tell you what, man, a lot of people see you at the paddock before the races. What actually, I mean, it looks like a gravy thing, but it's not. I mean, you're looking at a lot of stuff in that paddock. I mean, you're like the judge there.
Correct. Basically, just making sure all the horses have the right equipment on. Make sure the horses get saddled. If they need any assistance, I will go help the trainers or the valets. Then I basically just coordinate the time for when horses need to get on the track for post parade.
Mm-hmm. Mark, your job, and you're in touch with the stewards a lot too, right? Is that correct on the walkie-talkie and stuff?
Yes.
So he kind of runs everything down there, and a lot of our trainers are getting old and can't get around anymore, and MJ does a lot of saddling, helps them guys out, Jerry Hammond, Leroy Hellman, and guys, you know, just getting too old to do it themselves, and he's a big help for everybody, believe me.
Well, I'll tell you what, MJ, you also make sure when the horses are coming by, you make sure it's the right horse. How's that process work for the first-time people out there that haven't been to the track?
Well, just recently we just started – like other tracks through the nation with these saddle, the number towels for the groom that compared to the saddle towels. But as they come into the paddock, they get identified through a tattoo that matches with their papers and the markings of the horse. Like they have 3 white socks or have a blaze on their face. You go by that, what's on their papers, and they match up with a tattoo.
How significant is that, MJ, whenever you see front front wraps. It's supposed to be the legs are supposed to be wrapped, and they're not wrapped. Do you make sure that you bring it out to them that why isn't the horse's legs wrapped?
That is not my department. That would be Racing Form.
Mm-hmm.
Racing Form carries the front bandages and like blinkers and no whip, nasal strips and all that. Now, I will help Racing Form identify what's going on in the paddock. So if they have a goggle on their blinkers, I will inform her so they can note that in the Racing Form.
Oh, I got you. I got you. And you don't end right there, man. Every morning you're out there and you're clocking these horses too. Tell us a little bit about that and how long you've been doing this.
I've been doing it for quite a while. Format, let's see, usually they'll come by and yell at me how far they're going, say half mile, 3/8 of a mile, maybe 5/8 of a mile. The riders will come by and yell, or the trainers will call and inform me of what their horse is going to do. So I'll time them, post it as posted in the morning workouts for basically the betting public, or the majority of it is for the owner's knowledge and the trainer's knowledge of how fit their horse is and where they need to place the horse when they race the horse.
Well, I tell you what, I look at that so much with first time starters and with maiden horses that are like one race in or something like that, or a couple years layoff or a year layoff or something. You're looking at how they breezed and all that. So what you're doing is very essential for the bettors out there.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's been an interesting ride so far. What do you think about this year's Fairmont Park? A lot of different trainers, a lot of different jockeys are holding up a flag here and there.
Yeah, we get people coming in and out, and we lose a lot of people to other tracks, surrounding tracks, to the purse. But we got a couple good riders coming in: Victor Ballion, Francisco Giles. We still got Santiago here. Hopefully, we don't lose him here in the next couple of years. He's going up north to Arlington. You know, this seems to be like a crossroads for some of these younger riders that start doing well here to go to the bigger tracks.
Right.
I mean, you had Shane Sellers come through here, Mark Guidry, you know, before they got real popular.
Well,
riding the Churchill Circuit and,
yeah,
back to Louisiana since they got Gainey.
Well, even recently with Rafael Hernandez, too, that was a guest on our show. I mean, he's made it big time now as well.
Oh, yeah. He's big time in Canada, Woodbine.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, MJ, when you're in the paddock, you're used to seeing familiar faces, familiar trainers and all that. You just brought up a different aspect here. Is it now to where, like, who is this horse and who is this trainer type of deal because there's new people coming in?
Well, you know, you're getting people to come in. Recently we had a guy, I think, come in from Belterra. You know, sometimes these horses don't do other places, and they come here. I believe there was a gentleman came through that ran at Belterra, and then you might have a couple guys that might come up from Ellis Park come through here.
Right. Well, I tell you what, my man, it's part of a racetrack seeing you there, and you're always in great shape. And I'm sure when you got a quarter horse race, you got to be in a little bit better shape in the paddock as well.
Yeah, you most likely have to have your head on a swivel. Different breed.
Yes, they
different
are.
Different breed.
Yes, they are. And, hey, Mike, I tell you what, MJ loves the golf too, man.
Does he love golf?
Oh,
yes.
The guy can swing
a driver. Well, he hits one about 320.
Yeah. Well, one time we went out and we had a long drive. I mean, the guy still outdrove me.
You
yeah.
lost.
Yeah.
I know that. Did you tee off from the ladies'
tee? I don't think so, John. I seen John hit the ball. He hits it long.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll definitely have to get out there and do it again and keep doing what you're doing, MJ. We love you, man.
Okay. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
All right. Thanks, MJ.
All right, brother. you know what? He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great guy. Always with a smile on his face. It's people like him that's made it fun for me to go out there years and years. So.
Yeah, and you know something else a lot of people maybe forgot, for those of you that don't know, MJ's father was a trainer for many, many years, and his son worked in the jocks room as a valet, and Joey, I think, is now over in Indiana working in the jocks room.
He was also in Arizona, too, I think.
Yeah, he worked on the gate crew out there, so it's kind of a family tradition, you know, to be in the horse business.
Right. Good people. Yep. Good people. Well, you know what, Mike? I tell you, I think it's let's get to some racing here.
Let's
and
go.
Tuesday matinee hooky. What is that? Hooky play or what?
Horse hooky
on Tuesday. It's going to be a hot one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be real hot tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't like hearing that. But anyway, in the first race here, folks, it's a claiming 6-furlong race for 3,200 claiming tag. And before we start this, Mike, I there's a little bias here.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, yes.
Just a little bit.
Well, I own, with a couple partners, we own this horse, Don't Chain Trainers, the two horse. And it's been off almost over a year.
Year and a half.
It's been off a year and a half. He had a fracture in the leg, and we glued that back together again for many months and waited. And, you know, hopefully it comes back and, does something. But who knows?
You never know. Once you operate on one, and just have to wait and see.
Right. And so we have the two-horse Don't Chain Trainers in the first race, and that's written by Victor Santiago. And
how'd you get the leading jock on this horse?
I have no idea how I pulled that off.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was you, brother. Who do we have on this one, Mike? I got my horse on top here. I'm not going to lie. I think the horse will still have enough if he stays put together and doesn't fall apart. The two horse, Don't Chain Trainers. And I got the five horse Wall Street Josh. Wall Street Josh, my second place horse there. And my third place horse is the one Haysuit Warrior.
Yeah, well, it looks like we're exactly alike on this race. I went also with Don't Change Trainers, number two. Just a huge class drop, and I know he's been off for a year and a half, but I know the horse has been working well. He's been claimed, I don't know how many times here, three or four times before the injury. Run at Oaklawn Park, Turfway Park, Churchill Downs, and it don't go down far enough, but the horse used to run here at Fairmont Park a few times.
And he's on there, too, on the big board here.
Yeah, he's run once, actually, and win that. I just think this horse is the horse to beat. And for second, I went with number five, Wall Street Josh, coming off a real good second-place finish, his first time out over the racetrack. I think he's got enough to hold on for second. And for third, I also went with Jesuit Warrior, the one.
Okay. All right. So we got that one. Let's move on to race number two here. Race number two is a maiden claiming 4,000, 6-furlong. And you start this one off, Mike.
I'm going to start this one off with a little bit of a long shot. Morning line is 6-1. I really liked his last start in open, maiden claiming 4,000. Today's in with Illinois Breds. Same claiming ring, 4,000. He got beat 4.5 lengths. First time Santiago rode the horse, closed and made up all kinds of ground. I think this horse is the horse to beat, even though he's 6-1. I'm going to use him for my long shot play as the
That's
day
the
well.
One horse?
Yes, Slough
okay.
Creek. And for second, I went with number six, Mighty Gene. Jerry Hammond, Uriel Lopez, they've been on quite a roll in the last couple of weeks. I think they should be coming late to run for second. And for third, I went with the number four horse, Graduate Cat, Juan Molina for Harold Mosier. And you look at Harry's training stats here. He's had 10 starts, 2 wins, a second, and 4 thirds. He does a good job. Molina's been on a pretty good roll himself the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I think he'll be there for third.
Yeah, I tell you what, Harry's been pretty good this year.
Yeah, Harry's done a good job. He always does do a good job. Harry's a good trainer and a good guy.
Oh.
Never has a lot of horses. He owns most of his own. But this horse here, he should be pretty tough in here.
All right. And my pick here, I went with the Graduate Cat. I like Graduate Cat on top. And then I went with Dory's Last. Dory's Last, and what number is that? It's the three horse. And let's see why I got that one. I'm going with the notion here, Mike. It's dropping in class. And last time it ran at this level, it hesitated, had a bad start. And I think we may see a little bit more out of this horse this time up. Again, you're playing the mind of the horse and all that. It's a mind-guessing game. And with the maiden claimers at this price, I mean, you're looking at a price on these two.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't always work out here, folks, with these 6-5, 7-5, 1-1 type of horses at this level because they all got problems.
Right.
So, and my third place horse, I went with the two horse, Live Action. Live Action, to me, let's see, let's bring Live Action. Live Action, first time Lasix. Again, two bad starts. I'm looking at some improvement here. I think what we're seeing here is possibly if the horse runs its race, it makes up a little bit of ground at the end. I like the horse here. I like the horse at 10-1 on this to be in the money.
Right.
I didn't even take your horse there.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on to race number three. Race number three is a 1 mile claiming 4,000. And what do you got here, Mike?
I went with the two horse. I'd Love a Parade. Last time she ran a mile, finished second, got beat to a little horse called Mologer. Eddie Essen Price trained that horse. I just like the way this filly's, you know, running into form. She's got Giles back. I think she'll be real tough in this spot. And for second, I went with number four, Pontotoc Queen. Mike Durham trained. Mike's not been hitting real well lately, but I think he's going to get going here before long. And I look for this filly to run a pretty good race. She's run a mile the last time she run. She got a little tired first time she'd run a mile. And I think she'll hold on for second. And for third, I went with number six, Was You Doing.
Okay. All right. Well, they're all very competitive, I'll tell you that. And let's see how I went on this one. Race number three, I went with the number two, I'd Love a Parade. And last outing, didn't lose by much. Jock has this one focused. I like this one. And the four horse here, Pontotoc.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, but
yeah, Pontotoc Queen. And that's the four horse here. And I like this only for the drop. It's dropped in class. Now it's at a place to where it can win. And last time out, it didn't. I mean, it showed in the money. I think I like this horse in there.
Right.
So why the hell not? It definitely ran a mile, got used to it again. He's right back. I like where it's at. You had that horse too, didn't you?
Yeah, I had him. I had her for second.
Second, that's what I got, right?
Yep.
And the third place horse is Was You Doing. Don't Overlook can crash this party. Needs a late burst. That's what I got down there.
Yeah, we got the same three.
How about that?
I don't know if that's good either.
That's great, man. Two great minds think alike. Race number four here is a 6 furlong claiming 3,200. And once again, show us the way.
All right, I went with the chalk here. I went with Seba's Dancer. Got the new Bug Boy. He just won another race the other night, Javier Diego, for Robert Pompel. Horse run fourth, his last start. Only got beat a half a length for everything. And runs in the same kind of condition here today. I think this horse will just absolutely demolish this field, to be honest with you. And for second, I went with Highway 54. Even though he's run 3/3 in a row, and that's asking a little bit of a jump. But he's always right there at the end. But I don't think he's got enough to overcome the 5, Seba's Dancer. And for third, I went with number 6, the Pegasus Book.
Well, there's no question Pegasus Book belongs there. I mean, you look at it, 7 starts out of 11 at Fairmount Park in the money.
Right.
And I went, I think, Jesus Christ, don't tell me we're together on this one, too. Fourth race, Seba's Dancer. And how was Diego with that last ride that won him? Won that race at Saturday night. Was it?
It was a mile race, and he went to the front and just kind of
again went to the front. Didn't come from behind or anything.
No. Nope.
So he still hasn't been asked to do.
Well, he's been in a couple of races that he's had to come from out of it. Just didn't win. I mean, but he has been behind horses,
and he has made strides to move up. And
he's doing well.
Okay, yep. very good. Sabrina's, or what is that? Seba's Dancer. I got this one. Diego Pompel, 1-1, the 5-horse, followed by Highway 54, Santiago Durham. Exacted 9-year-old will fulfill his end of the bargain here. I definitely see this horse being up there. And the Pegasus Book. The 6-horse. You know what? What's this horse done wrong? Like I said, 7 out of 11 in the money. And you think, Mike, the Pegasus Book, is this horse going to come out and set the pace?
You know, last time he run, I was really surprised to see Santiago in front of Roski. You see Roski won the race by 4. This horse showed me that he does have a lot of speed, and if Balon decides to send, I'm sure that the Bug Boy is going to send Seba's Dancer out there a little bit too. He might not necessarily be on the front end. If the Bug Boy elects to send, if Balon does send this horse, and if he gets an easy lead, there's no Roski in there to push him. He could win the race. There's no doubt about it. But I just think that Seba's Dancer's horse is in a little bit better form. He's kind of dropped. You know, he ran for 3,200 last time. Was the first time that he'd run since May.
Boy, he didn't miss by much, though.
No, he didn't miss by much. And even though Highway 54 beat him, this was Seba's Dancer's first start in a couple of months. So this horse will be tough today.
Yeah. Do you think, why I asked you that question a minute ago, now that you have the Pegasus Book, that may just say, I'm going to take the front. I know the kid likes to be out front, but he really hasn't been tested coming from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Can this be the mind of Balon as well? And Ratana in that sense that, hey, this Diego kid likes to go to the front.
Right.
Let's take that away from him, and let's have him behind us this time to see how he adapts to that.
Right, that could be a possibility. And both races that Diego went to the front and won, they was both route races. This is a sprint, 6 furlongs.
Right.
There's a little different story there, too, you know.
Right. It's going to be an interesting race. I don't buy into the fact that Seba's Dancer is like the fortified play. I got this one on top, even in my green sheet, that this is the best play. But I'm saying the Pegasus Book, if it gets a good trip here, can move up the totem pole.
Right.
All right. So were we the same there, too?
Yeah. We won't be the next race. Oof. I'm going to let you go first, but
all right.
We won't be.
Fifth race. All right. Let's do that then. I'm going to go fifth race. I'm going to select. I'm taking the 7-horse, Jack and John, Velasquez Wilborn here. I got this one, the class of the bunch, and I can't control the board there. And let me go up here. The 4, what is that? Class? Where are you? Where are you? Okay, there's the 7-horse, Jack and John. I got this, the class of the horse, class of the field here.
He is.
And I just definitely think that first time I'm seeing at this level, I think it adapts. It has to adapt. And you know what? It had a bad start on that last race, too. This horse can be a player here. I like this horse. On top, the 7-horse, followed by the 5-horse, Beefy. And Beefy, to me, looks very beefy. I mean, this horse likes to run second and third, and with Brooke Stillion on the horse, she's familiar with this one. Going off at 7-2, I got this one right up there, and I think my third one is obviously going to be Prince Neff, the 7-5 horse. as my one horse. I just can't buy into this one again, Mike. I mean, how many times I got to get burned on this horse? Last time out, two times now, he wasn't, last two, he was 5-1, and last one here, he was close to 2-1. And he didn't, I mean, it wasn't no cakewalk for him.
Right.
He didn't even look like he wanted to run there. He picked up the third place prize there. That's what Prince Nefer. That's okay. My one horse as the show ticket.
All right. Well, I went, this was the hardest race of the card for me to handicap because I do know a little bit about the six horse. I know the plans the last time he ran was taking back off the pace, and evidently it was the time before that too, and he didn't fare too well. But I talked to trainer Durham the other day, and this horse is not going to take back. They're going to try to get him out there forwardly placed. I think this horse at 6-1 in the morning line, I think you'll even get higher because I know Prince Neff is going to get a lot of action. Jack and John's going to get a lot of action. Beefy's going to get some action. You could be looking at a 10-12-1 horse here.
But, and Mike, you're asking the horse to do something out of the norm here to get it out front. I don't see it on form. Maybe going back to August of 21 of 16 that he was second place or, okay, well, in Hawthorne too in April of this year. But mostly this horse likes to come from behind or swing it from the at the stretch coming from the 3-4 links back.
Yeah. Well, it does say that on paper, but I just know what they told Santiago last time, and Victor is going to send him. If they want him sent, he's going to send him out of there.
I think you're looking at a 10-1.
You might be. You might be. Molina will probably send Artemis Joy out. I'm not saying this horse, U.S. Frequent Flyer, will be in front, but he'll be forwardly placed. You won't see him no 11 or 13 lengths off the lead at the half-mile pole. Whether he lasts or not, I don't know. But I'm going to take a shot because the favorites, the three favorites in the race are just so equally matched. I'm going to go for a little bit of a long shot and use the 6 on top of the 7, Jack and John. He'll be running late. Like Jono said, he's the class of the field. And for third, I'm going to get away from Prince Neff until he's got to turn things around. He's, you know, right. Third, fourth, fifth, right there. But I'm going to go with the 5-horse Beefy for third.
I thought you were going to show some love for the old man Crypto Gulch.
No. He's
like Rodney Dangerfield of these races, isn't he?
I tell you what, he's an owner's dream because he always gets you a check. He pays his way, makes a little bit of money. Bentler does a heck of a good job with him. The old man meaning the horse, he tries hard every time, but I'm going to leave him out of the trifecta.
Yeah. And you know what, folks? Let me ask you, Mike, when you're talking about temperatures that are getting into the like late 90s or early hundreds, are we looking at older horses more fatigued on this, or how's this work? I know not all horses are equal. I mean, it's a matter of the old guy out in the sun or the young guy out in the sun.
It's kind of like the old bull and the young bull.
Yeah,
it is. The older horses, not unless they've just got like issues in the paddock to get real nervous anyway. But if the old horses are a little calmer, which they usually are, they'll handle the heat. They're used to the heat. Some of these young horses, you know, not in that race there, but a lot of these younger horses, they might not handle the heat. You just don't know. And, you know, the riders come into effect there, too, because they're wearing them silks, and I know they don't weigh much, but they get hot, and, you know, toward the end of the card, it affects some of them guys, too.
I'm sure.
People don't think about that, but it does affect them.
Let me ask you too, Mike, what does a person that's standing around the paddock when these horses are coming in and it's hot like this, what are we looking for? What are they trying to focus in on? Myself, I look for the horses that are like having like shampoo white suds coming off their neck, their chest and all that. And I look at that as not a good sign.
Right. Well, most of the trainers now in a paddock, we'll have like a 5-gallon bucket of water. A lot of the horses will be wet. A lot of that is this water being sponged onto them after they get saddled and, you know, just keeping them as cool as they can. What the thing to look for is, like you said, the white foam. It's the lather between their back legs. When them horses get that hot and they're nervous, that's where it shows more. And then later on in a post parade, if you look up at the TV monitor and you see a horse that's got that white stuff, the foam, however you want to call it, the lather, on the neck where the bridle reins come back on the right. neck, a lot of them jocks will take their whip, turn it around, and just rub that onto the whip and then get rid of it on the ground. That's a sign a horse is washing out. That's the term that we use. When a horse gets washed out, they extend a lot of energy.
Okay, so they've used a lot of energy right then.
Yeah, that's a
wow.
For me, that's a sign to say, you know what, maybe this won't be this horse's day. And if yeah. you got the ticket already, it might not be a bad idea to go back and get your refund
right.
and bet somebody else.
I've done that with dog racing to see which dog craps.
Yeah.
When they crap, that means they're lighter. They're wanting to go. All right.
Horses do that too, though. I'm laughing, and you see a lot of horses take a dump before they get in the gate, you know.
They're so casual. They're just walking by and they're laying he's like, let me have the grass, take me to the grass, I'm not gonna crap out here in the dirt and sand. Anyway, so you went with what's your three again?
I went with the 6 on top of the 5-1.
All right. And I went with on this race.
Or I'm sorry, the 6 on top of the 5-7. I left the 1.
Okay.
Out.
Yeah. I gave you mine already. All right. Let's go to our next race. It's a 6 furlong claiming 3,200. And what do we have here?
Well, I'm going long shots today. I'm staying away from the chalk. I'm going with a little bit of an upset toward the inside. Sunshine Caree. She ran 4th last time, got beat 5 lengths. I just look for this filly to run a big race. Wee Wee Cherie, the 3 horse, is the even money favorite. And if you look 2 starts back, Wee Wee Cherie beat this horse by about 4 lengths. Last time out, this horse ran a little bit better race, got a little bit better number. And I just think Arietta sits back. Wee Wee Cherie is going to go to the front or close to it. Twirling Millie from the rails got to go. And I look for a little speed duel to set up, and I think this filly comes from the clouds and gets the job done. That's the number 2, Sunshine Caree. And for second, I use the 3 horse, Wee Wee Cherie. I think she's good enough to hang on and for second. And for third, I went with Twirling Millie, number 1.
All right. I'm kind of making this one my exacta play of the day here, exacta box play of the day. I love this 1-3 combo here. I love this 3-1, 1-3. And what, you're astonished by that? What are you looking at there? Okay. I like Twirling Millie on top here. I like Baylon Durham here. 5-2 power number. The power numbers are strong here. Equal to the favorite with bigger class drop too. I like the 1 to overtake the 3.
Right.
All right. And I got the 3, Wee Wee Cherie. And that's the Randazzo horse. 1-1 here, folks. I'm taking down a dragon. I'm taking down a dragon. And then for my 3rd place spot, I got the 2 horse, Sunshine Cadiz. Tries inside rally, can make interesting for 3rd, and moves up if these two get into a big heated spit tossing contest, the 1 and the 3.
And you got to throw the 4 in there, too, for the early speed duel. It could set up good for the 2. That's why I went with the Sunshine Caree.
Right. Okay. 7th race here. I tell you what, I got some shockers here, babe.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you want to start or?
Nah, you can do it.
All right. I'll go first here. And I'm going to go with my good friend Kelly Ackerman. I've known Kelly for a long time. He's one of my best friends. Does a great job. He trains for Mr. Charles Fipke. Bringing Honey's Tail in from Arlington Park. A big
one number
in class. The 1.
The 1.
Yeah. She didn't have very well to show for herself at Arlington last time out. She ran 9th, got beat 10 lengths on the grass. I throw that race out. Going back to 6 furlong, she's proven that she can sprint a little bit. She's been at Woodbine, Turfway Park, Indiana Downs, Fort Erie, and New York. Run 2nd, 4th, 6th, and maiden special weight company. And coming to Fairmont Park, this is a very weak field. And I look for her just to absolutely gallop in this spot. Wouldn't surprise me. She wins by 8 or 10 lengths. For a second, I went with number 6, Duchess Lala, Mike Durham, Victor Bailon. Second, third, 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 third every time she runs, and I think that's where she's going to be again. I think she's going to run second. And for third, I used number 3, Uncle Tommy. Threw the last race completely out, hesitated at the break. She got a little rambunctious in the paddock, threw the rider. They changed riders, not that it was Bilby's fault that he got through, of course, but they changed riders and went with Juan Molina Jr. Juan probably has been on this horse in the morning. Those are pretty good, and I love the stud fee on this horse. He's by Uncle Mo. They paid $150,000 for the stud fee. And out of a charismatic mare, bred into purple, if she does run her race, she'll be tough as well.
Well, you know, you say that, and you folks just went 150 G for this horse. Hold on. That was the stud fee, and then what it was sold for was $5,500.
Right.
So there's a major loss there.
Major loss. Yes.
Major loss, and there's something really wrong with this horse that they paid $150,000 for a stud fee, and then it goes out to auction, no reserve at all, just get rid of the horse. It sells for $5,500.
Right.
So, you know, I want to emphasize that too. You know, just to make it, I like this one horse here. I like Honey's Tail. I mean, when you're coming out, when you're coming from Woodbine, I mean, this is the class of the race here.
Yes.
I mean, this horse is definitely at 3-1. I don't see how you get 3-1 on this.
You'll probably see more like 3-5.
3-5. Now, though, is interesting because I went with the 7 horse as my second place finish here, Air Ellie. And I'll tell you what, 107 million dollars has been made off this horse with the sire Lankford.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first timers, this horse likes to win too with first timers. 90 stake winners, and Essen Price is notorious for young horses. I look for this one. 10-1, are you kidding me? And it's owned by Edgar. This is the type of horse that I think could do well here. The morning works have been really strong. I like what I'm seeing here. I think this horse can even pull an upset here, but I don't think it'll pull an upset. I think the 1 will win, but I think the 7 has enough here to outclass these horses just on the breeding. Just on the breeding, I know what you're saying with the $150,000, but the damn thing sold for $5,500.
Mm-hmm.
This one, first time out, Jim Edgar, the owner, these guys take this thing serious. I love the connections all around here. I like this 7 horse to show up as my second place horse, and my third place horse is the number 6 horse, Duchess Lala. Always competitive, can't get up. I just don't see it finishing the job off here. I like the other two horses. I like the 1 horse on top. I like the 7. Again, I'm just buying into the first time deal here. First time starters. You're looking at Eddie. He's at 8%. Maiden special weight at 5%. I get that. I really do. But I'm saying to you right now, there's some really good connections with this horse, and I like what I'm seeing here. I love the stud.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going with this one.
Okay.
That's what we got. I didn't change your mind about the 7 at all?
No.
No.
No, and there's only one reason why. Eddie does well with young horses. I do know that and aware of that. The one thing that I will say that kind of backs your point up, Eddie's not one to work horses fast. And the last two times this filly's worked, she's worked very fast for an Essen Price horse. 49 for the half and 49-3 for the time before that. Eddie usually don't work his horses fast, and he wasn't asking her. I'm sure Bilby worked her, and Eddie probably told her, you know, told him, you know, just work her nice and easy, and you might be on to something. You might be onto something right there.
And that might be them holding the horse back even
right.
More than the horse wants to run.
Right.
So, you know, this is an interesting play here, folks, at 10-1. What was your big play today, long shot play?
Earlier in the card, I think I went in the second race with number 1, Slough Creek.
Slough Creek. Let's find that horse again. And that's the, what race is that?
Second race.
Second race.
Number one.
Number one, Slough Creek. Yeah, you were high on that one. That's
yes.
your, and what are we looking at here, Mike? Are we looking at something that's going to go to 8-1, 10-1?
Could very well be Trainer Wilsey's 14 starters, 0 wins, 0 seconds. But I rode the horse last time with jockey Santiago, and he really liked the horse and wanted to ride it back. So we made sure that we could squeeze him in, and I think he gets the job done.
All right, and what's your best bet of the day?
Best bet of the day is the seventh race, the one horse, Honey's Tail.
There's no question that horse is going to be live. I like that horse. I think it graduates today, or it graduates tomorrow. And how about Exacta? You got any Exacta plays? You don't like my Exacta play.
What was your Exacta play again?
Sixth race. I got the 1-3. I just see them running off with this. A small field like this, no, they're not going to have any traffic, and they may pull away from the bunch. And even when the bunch starts to reel them in, it may be running out of real estate.
Oh, not only do I have a Exacta play, I've got an ice cold.
Ice cold.
Exacta
the TVG
play.
Ice
That's
cold
right.
Exacta.
Okay, let's go back to race one with Don't Change Trainers, the 2 over the 5, Wall Street Josh.
Wow, that's your one, huh?
Yep.
Now, what'd you have in the second race?
Oh, my goodness gracious. The second race was Slough Creek, so let's
Slough
get
Creek.
A double.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I was thinking. How about playing a daily double there? I played... 2 with the 2-3-4-6.
2 with the 2-3-4-6 as your double?
Yeah, as my daily double.
I'm this okay. Let's. I'll go with a 2-1 and the 2-6.
All right. Okay. 2-1 with the 2-6. All right, my friends. Are you going to be out there tomorrow, Mike?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna have my entire posse.
Ooh.
Out there. They're going to be...
Shine shoes?
Yeah, they're going to be out there, and they're going to... They're all excited about
Get
tomorrow.
Get ready for the picture.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know...
I hope it does good for you.
Well, you know, that and... I hope the horse just stays together. I mean, that's the big thing about it. You want the horse to not fall apart, and... Jesus, sitting around waiting for a year and a half for a horse to run.
Yeah, he's in good hands.
He's in good hands. And Tommy, God bless him. I told him, hey, can you work with him? And he goes, I don't know. Just let's see what we got. And we put him in the farm. He looked like a grizzly bear when we didn't cut his hair or anything.
I know. I seen him out there last fall and earlier this spring when before he come into the racetrack. I was out Tommy's fishing, and he looked to be doing fine.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. All right, my friends, hey, catch our show again. You can go to Google Play. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Podbeam. You could go to Stitcher. You can go to our race day at Fairmont Park on our Facebook site.
Right.
Hit a big like there. Become one of our fans. And also check us out at FairmontParkPodcast.com.
Okay.
You can't go wrong with that.
Sounds good.
All right, Mike, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll definitely be out there tomorrow. Hopefully you folks will be out there too. God bless, and let's keep cashing those winning tickets.
Tune in next week for another episode of Race Day at Fairmount Park on the lineupmedia.fm network. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or through our website, FairmountParkPodcast.com, and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter. There's a perfect time when you're tempting fate, and you lay your money down, and you cross the line. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.